the Catholic emblem against the Protestant illustration. An answer to the European vision of the New World is contained in the Nueva Crónica y Buen Gobierno, written by the Peruvian Indian Felipe Huamán Poma de Ayala, 1615. This complex text, a multilingual, profusely illustrated chronicle, which is also a letter to Philip III of Spain, constitutes the most important primary source for both Andean anthropology and history, dealing with pre-Hispanic society as well as with the Peruvian viceroyalty. Only recently has it become the subject of semiotic readings. In order to denounce the evils that plague colonial society and to propose his formula for good government, Huamán Poma resorts to the topoi of vice and virtue associated with the literature of social complaint and political utopia of the Middle Ages. In the Nueva Crónica, we recognize the four topoi that, according to Joseph Keller, characterize this tradition. In the first place, there is the notion that vices triumph in a world upside down. Huamán Poma sees the consequences of the conquest as a Pachacuti or cosmic earthquake, literally world upside down, that inverts Andean order. Secondly, vices flourish near doomsday, as every Pachacuti ends an era to give birth to the next one. And this is precisely the hope that impels the chronicler to write his letter to the king. In the third place, vices multiply with the loss of the Golden Age. Huamán Poma looks back with nostalgia to the primordial times of the pre-Incaic Andean world. He longs particularly for the fourth Indian era, that of the Aucarruna, in which the Yarovilca dynasty of his forefathers originated and presented as a moral archetype. Finally, there is a topos of major political implications: vices triumph under bad government and virtues under a good one. As Philip III is far away and misinformed about the disasters of the colonial administration, he cannot be held responsible for the proliferation of the vices. But now that the Andean author has become his self-appointed advisor, the chronicle, hybrid in genre, partakes of the tradition of royal council, the king has no excuse but to find a solution that will restore the reign of virtue. The seven vices create the language of denunciation in Huamán Poma's chronicle. Their iconography is an original contribution to the emblematic tradition of the vices, typically abstract and symbolic. In the European emblem, the image is dissociated from concrete reality. Wrath is an unicorn, envy an erupting volcano consumed in its own flames, etc. The Indian author's emblems depict historical situations in which real people are called by their own names and in which we can recognize the social categories and daily activities in the Andean colonial regime, associated either with vices that deserve condemnation or with virtues that merit praise. Still, the combination of word and image, the reiteration of motifs, the structural symmetry of oppositions, and the elaboration of cultural archetypes turn these illustrations into political emblems. Vices appear more forcefully than virtues, as denunciation flows easily from colonial experience. Virtues are portrayed in somewhat a historical fashion. If vices exist in the present, virtue belongs to the pre-Hispanic past and is no more than utopian hope for the future. Virtues are not characteristic of actual collective behavior, but can be seen in individual cases. They provide the basis for the rhetoric of good government. Although the iconography of vice and virtue unfolds in a considerable number of drawings in Huamán Poma's Nueva Crónica, we will show only one example of each. First, the vices associated with the Spaniards. The driving force behind the conquest and colonization is the sin of greed. The section that deals with the conquest begins with a drawing that shows the Inca Huayna Capac asking conqueror Candia in Quechua, "Kai koritachu mikunki, do you eat this gold?" As he answers, "Yes, we do eat this gold." Pride provides the ideology of superiority that legitimizes the conquest. In trying to match the power of the Inca, the encomendero is carried around in a litter. Wrath or violence is the instrument of the defeat of the Inca Empire with the death of Atahualpa, the native captains, and the leader of the neo-Inca resistance, Tupac Amaru. Violence also characterizes the civil wars among the conquerors and produces many of the abuses of power by civil and religious officials in the process of colonization. Lust makes the female Indian fall prey to the Spaniard's desire. Envy, implicit in those drawings about the greed of the conquest and on the civil wars among the conquerors, is also seen in petty arguments among the colonizers. Sloth and gluttony, associated with the Spaniards in scenes that depict banquets and native forced labor, are among the few vices also attributed to the Indians. Both are a consequence of contact, according to Wamampoma, who anticipates the connection modern scholarship makes between colonization and collective demoralization. Some very important drawings combine vices, such as the case of La Mala Confesión or Bad Confession, which attributes three capital sins to the local priest: the pride of sacrilege and the wrath in the act of kicking the female Indian who was made pregnant by his own lust. With few exceptions, the emblems of vice are attributed to the Spaniards in their venture of conquest and colonization. The few drawings that link the natives to vice do so to illustrate how the natural virtue of the aborigine has suffered contamination in the pachacuti brought about by the conquest. Virtues are monopolized by Indians and some Spanish priests, among them Franciscans and Jesuits. Few civil officials are portrayed as virtues, and when this occurs, they belong to the early stages of the colonial regime and not to Wamampoma's times. The chronicler legitimizes the conquest teleologically. From his point of view, Incaic idolatry turned away the Andean people, Christians by intuition, even before St. Bartholomew's alleged visit, from the true faith, till the Spaniards came to evangelize them again. From this perspective, the conquest is deemed necessary. Thus, the real Pachacuti is not brought about by early contact, but by Viceroy Toledo, who consolidated the colonial regime by finally destroying the Inca Empire with the decapitation of Tupac Amaru. The drawing that shows Bishop Mendoza of Cusco proposes the fusion of justice with mercy towards the natives. Meekness is embodied in an Indian surrounded by six animals, metaphors for the encomendero, the corregidor, the cacique principal, the notary, the priest, and the road watchman. Humility or obedience is seen as the ideal condition for the prelates of the religious orders. Moderation is a moral imperative for priests and nuns, who are not to collect taxes but to live from charity. Chastity and industry go together in the ideal priest, though the latter is typical of scenes that show Indians involved in productive activities, the weaving of textiles, the tilling of the land, for example, or performing some kind of service. As regards the theological virtues, no difference is made between charity, the source of which is Christ's passion on the cross, and mercy, a traditional virtue of Andean Indians. Faith, displayed in the various devotions, is exclusively associated with the natives, And the depiction of the city of heaven reveals that hope is the reward of those poor good sinners. Implicitly, only the Indians and the few Spanish clerics that do not seek material profit. If virtues are seen more frequently associated with Spanish priests than with Andean natives, at least the more important ones, for industry and meekness, are always present in the illustrations about the colonial exploitation of the aborigine, it is because Wamanpoma is not so much intent on pointing to the isolated cases of virtue that remain in this topsy-turvy world characterized by the proliferation of vices, as on proposing a way of life that will restore primordial order to the Indies. The political tactic of the Andean chronicler is clear. Those who control power are the ones that must change. The traditional iconography of vice and virtue, which Wamanpoma subverts in order to produce political emblems elaborated from a nativistic perspective, is thus instrumental in the construction of what we might call the first modern Native American cultural typology. The Andean author's emblematic description of culture fits Hodgins' characterization of early anthropology, I quote, "Whenever scholastic ideals prevailed, their brevity was the hallmark, and the medieval encyclopedia, with its capsule epitomes, its stereotypes and typologies, became the model. In response to a deep human need for brief formula, which would express the characteristics of things and peoples in dichotomy of black and white, virtue and vice, these general cultural descriptions were short, terse, and apodigmatic," unquote. This native typology turns the weapons provided by acculturation against the invaders themselves, in this case, the medieval rhetoric of vice and virtue, as we show in a paper to be published soon in Dispositio. Set up as the mark of true civilization, Christianity separates Indians, the incarnation of virtue, and Spaniards, the incarnation of vice, who can coexist only in Wamanpoma's drawings, as Rolin Adorno has shown recently in Violent Conflict. Within this context, the illustrations which dwell on the punishment inflicted to the Indian Don Cristobal de León by the Corregidor for undertaking the defense of his people emerge as paradigmatic emblems of the Andean author's cultural description. Native charity, justice, humility and meekness versus Spanish wrath, pride, lust, and sloth within the traditional dichotomy of vice and virtue. Thank you.